Let's meet our Lord in prayer. Jesus, thank you so very much that you meet us, that you hear us, that you listen to us. Would it be, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and by our choosing, that we would desire to hear and to listen to you too. Move in our hearts, Lord, in such a way as we're listening today and as we have already been listening, that we might be moved by your Spirit. May there be a word for each of us, because you know exactly where we are. And only you can do that in a room this size, that through music and song and preaching, you can meet each person in this room where they are. May that be so, Lord. Whatever needs to happen for us to get stuff out of the way, kind of move things out of our minds that aren't the priority at this moment, so that you can be. Thank you for our speaker this morning, Lord. I pray that you would anoint Major Andy Miller, that every word from his lips would be words that glorify you.
Yes, Lord.
That they would edify us. And yet, Lord, edifying doesn't mean that we're not challenged. So may we be challenged, Lord. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. I'm so grateful I get the privilege to introduce to you Major Andy Miller this morning. With his strong voice and desire for everyone to know about Jesus, you'll most likely hear Major Andy Miller before you see him. Filled with the joy of the Lord, Andy can't wait to share the good news about his Savior. And coming in a close second, how the Lord is using the Salvation Army. Along with his love for people and seemingly endless energy and enthusiasm, Andy has had a part in sending over 100 individuals to this college for officer training and is the ideal person to serve with his wife in their current positions as a central territorial candidate and recruitment secretary. Major Miller was born in Akron, Ohio, and is the fifth-generation Salvation Army officer. He attended Asbury College, where, you might be interested in knowing, he was the only student to ever be named an honorary citizen of Wilmore, Kentucky. He graduated in 1975 with a bachelor's degree in social work, and that July married the love of his life, Cheryl. Together, the Millers have played an important role in the spiritual development of people throughout the Central Territory, having served as Corps officers and on divisional staffs through the Midwest. One of the highlights of their officership was planting a Corps in Des Plaines, Illinois, that is now thriving and ministering to people in English, Spanish, and Russian. More recently, the Millers were Corps officers at the Omaha Citadel in Nebraska, at the Nebraska Corps, as well as chaplains for the Omaha Lead Renaissance Center. Through this ministry, they demonstrated how to lovingly connect people involved in the Salvation Army Social Services Program with local Corps families. When asked how he's doing, and I've actually heard this morning, Major Miller will always answer, "Better than I deserve," because he's so grateful for the grace of God in his life and the honor of serving as a Salvation Army officer. The Millers have 4 children. All have attended and graduated from Asbury College. Their eldest children, Andrew III and Diana Jean, along with their spouses, are Salvation Army officers. And I'm going to add, Andy and his wife, Abby, are actually having a baby today. Babies don't come when they're supposed to come, do they?
No.
They come 3 weeks early. So in this, at this very moment, perhaps, his second grandson is being born, sometime today, most likely, in Texas. Their son, Nathan, earned a master's degree at the University of Cincinnati Conservatory of Music in French horn performance. And their youngest daughter, Karen, just graduated Asbury with a BA in Health and Physical Education.
We've already had some great sermons today, and the music we've heard. I know you've heard this a million times, but it is so good to come back and to hear you all sing. It is such a blessing to hear this congregation sing the praises of God. It is wonderful. And so I thank you all very much. Thank you to the band, and what a message in that song. Come home. You who are weary, come home. I know come time near the halfway through the semester, and you're saying, I'd like to go home and eat some good food and have a good time and relax and sleep and just relax where I just know I'm home. But earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Well, I stand before you today as a sinner who has constantly found a way to come home. A sinner who has been saved by grace and given the often awesome, let's see, get that again, awesome gift of really desiring to live out a holy life. Now, I happened to be here during that wonderful ice storm, and I was a little worried that if I talked about holiness after Holiness Emphasis Week, where you had it was all ice and you had to cancel some or whatever, I thought, man, if I talk about holiness, I'm going to get iced out. But I know as I'm standing here at this pulpit, you know, it's almost like that, you remember the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark? And they set up near the end of the movie, and they took out and they put on their priestly robes. But they weren't, you know, they were people who were imperfect people. And, of course, they all got zapped by whatever it was. I'm almost afraid to touch this pulpit. I'm sure it's going to zap me somehow to say, Miller, what are you doing here? And I'm sure there's some professors that are here when I was here saying the same thing. Miller, what are you doing there? But it just shows how wonderful God's grace is. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Samuel, the third chapter. 1 Samuel 3. And we're going to read the first 11 verses. 1 Samuel 3. Here it goes. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, it's not in there. I'm sorry. "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down, and the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel! Samuel!" Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to these words, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle." Did you hear that? God is saying to Samuel, and God is saying to us today, "I am about to do something." Are you ready to do something for the Lord? Or, because the fact is, He wants to do something through you. The question is, are you ready to be holy so that something can really happen? Are you listening to what God wants to hear, wants to tell you today so you can hear His voice? Now, I have to admit to you that we were in a quarter system back when I was here. And so I was in 12 different seats. And I won't do the old, I'll point out the seat where I was thing. I'm sure that's been done before. But, and are there still chapel checkers? They had a hard job. And you had to learn. I have to admit, and I know confession is good for the soul. I learned how to tilt my head just so it looked like I was listening. And yet read my assignment for the 11 o'clock class at the same time. And so if you're not listening to me today, I want to say it's really God paying me back for not doing that. And some of the great preachers that were here. But are you listening? So if you're listening, we have three very distinct things that we learned from Samuel. That we learned from Samuel today. If you really want to be holy, the first thing is that you have to desire to hear from God. Now, do you really want to hear from God? Do you really want to? Or do you only want to hear certain things? Do you have your list made up? Here are the things, God, that you can tell me. Sign here. It's almost spiritual selective hearing. I have four kids. They're not kids anymore. My baby turns 23 in a few days. When they were growing up, they heard what they wanted to hear. And if you go back in your life, I'm sure you did the same thing at some time. And in the Salvation Army, as in almost any other denomination, there are people who will say, I'll do anything for the Lord except. And for me, when in the position we're in and what we've been doing in our whole officership as ministers in the Salvation Army, people avoid saying, I'm going to be a Salvation Army officer. They do their best even to avoid me. Because they know I will talk to them about being Salvation Army officers if I feel that's the way the Lord has led. But you see, for Samuel, he was listening. He was not using selective hearing. He wanted to do what he knew was right to do. And what was right to do was do what Eli told him to do. He didn't know God yet. In the 7th verse it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. However, spiritually, Samuel was in the right place to hear. He was in the right location. He was in a right relationship as much as he could be. And even though he did not yet understand, he was there and he really wanted to hear. There are times you really want to hear your name called out. When I came as a freshman, 6'1", 115 pounds of fighting weight, I wanted to make the freshman basketball team. Now, back in those days, we didn't have intercollegiate basketball. We played class ball. And I was a member of the Panther class. Go Panthers. There's actually some Panther kids here today, so I'm sorry. But I wanted to make the team, and 45 of us tried out for the freshman team. I made the first cut and made down to the 25. And the coach said, on Tuesday at 6 o'clock, before I post the list, I'm going to call out the names. Yeah. I was there at 5:30. I wanted to hear my name called. I didn't know if I'd made it. So he got up and he started reading off the names. Larry Andrews. Oh, he was always good. He could dribble the ball and shoot the thing. And he was fast. And oh, man. And he looked good, too. He had that blonde hair and blue eyes, so even if he wasn't good, he was going to make the team. And Willie Beasley and Keith Hyman were going in number 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. I knew there was only 12 on the team, and there were still 20 of us waiting for those last two spots. I'd say, Lord, I really desire to hear my name. Please. And all of a sudden, number 11, he said, Andy Miller. Yeah! And there's a little earthquake in Wilmore that day. I just so desired to hear my name called that I could say, yeah, I made the team. I played 2 minutes the whole year. I was used by the coach to show how to take a charging foul. That was my job. But how much more would it be should we desire to hear God call our name and say, I got something for you to do. To have God call us to do something for him, to crave, to desire that so much that we just want to hear from God. You know, if that is to happen, you have to do the second thing. You have to actively listen for his voice. I cannot even imagine how Samuel must have been restless after getting the instructions from Eli to say, if he calls again, you say, speak, for your servant is listening. I can't even imagine how much anticipation he must have had. It'd be almost like being a kid on Christmas morning, or I would listen to the iPod, I'd listen to that, and I'd listen to Mrs. Moulton's sermon from December when she talked about Kevin and Shar and their absolute anticipation and expectation that you need to actively listen for God's voice. With that much expectation, the desire to hear, to get something special from a God who is always ready to do something. Isn't that wonderful? Do you ever say amen here? Okay, just want to know. You could go back to the Old Testament is it Habakkuk or Habakkuk? Habakkuk? Is that the official theological terminology or way to say that word? Okay. Habakkuk 1:5 says, and it's also repeated in Acts 13:41. I know how to say Acts. It says, I am going to do something in your day that you will not believe even if you were told. You know, so many stories goes through my mind. When I think about that, I want to just share with you a recent one that's happened. About a month ago, I got a phone call. I'm in the office. Says, hello, Major Miller. Guy on the other end says, hello, I'm Dan Johnson. Did you mean what you said? Well, I'm thinking I've had 10 appointments. I've lived in 7 states. I've met around 15 Dan Johnsons. Are there any Dan Johnsons here today? No, okay. I've met a lot of Dan Johnsons. So I said to him, Dan, you're going to have to help me. Where do I know you from? And Dan said, I went to a teen camp outside of Grand Rapids in the late 80s. Now here's how God works. There's 30 Salvation Army Corps. I've been at camps all around the country. And yet, out of nowhere, I said, are you the kid from Manistee, Michigan? And there was silence on the other end of the phone. He said, yeah. So did you mean what you said? I'm thinking, Dan, I wanted to say, Dan, I was really lucky pulling out Manistee, Michigan. I don't remember everything I said in 1988. But I said, why don't you help? And let me read to you from his application to become an intern in a new program we have in our territory. It says, the other reason I called, this is Dan writing, in an application now was to gain more insight as to what the Lord was intending when he stopped Major Miller mid-sermon to state to me, even point at me, "You are going to be used significantly for the Lord's work someday." The answer was like a surprise birthday party from the Lord. Major Miller's answer was like unwrapping a gift from the Lord. He proceeded to tell me, and this is what I told him, I said, "I don't usually stop and point people out and say, 'You're going to be used for the Lord,' in the middle of my sermon. It would make my job as a candidate recruiter a lot easier." "Okay, that's it. Thank you. You're up. We're done over here. You got it. Okay, we're up. We're going. That'd be nice." But I said to him, "I don't do that unless I feel God has told me to tell you, you're called to be a Salvation Army officer." And he went on, "I was stunned. First, I felt unworthy for such a call. Secondly, the timing was an issue. I missed it because I thought I was now too old to be an officer. And what of the willingness? Sure, I'd be willing, but in the Salvation Army, my wife would have to be willing and have a lion's share in this." And then Major Miller told me, "I'm in Chicago now, but I'll be in Springfield, Missouri. And we own," I put the emphasis on owned, at that time he said, "we own a motel in Branson, Missouri." He said, "I'll be there in 3 days." So he said, "I agreed and thought I should probably share this with my wife since she would have to be part of it." Some of the story is, we visited. He put his motel in the market on February 1st. On February 4th, it sold in this economy. He has to be out on February 27th. And he said, "I can't even imagine how good God is if you can make this happen so quickly." That illustration leads me to the very fact that while it's very important if we desire to hear from God, that's good. If we actively listen for his voice, that's wonderful. But if we stop there, we're really missing the point of what God wants to do to and through us. And if you really are ready to be holy and you want to be part of something that God is planning to do, then like Samuel and like the Johnsons, you must positively respond. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." The Message Bible put it this way: "Speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen." God's response to Samuel was, "I'm about to do something," or even better, listen to the Message, Eugene Peterson's explanation. He says, "Listen carefully, Samuel, I'm getting ready to do something that is going to shake everyone up and get their attention." What is it God is going to have to do to get your attention? How many times will it take? How many times will it take him to get your attention? With Samuel, it took 4 times. I have to say, with me, it took probably about 20 times before I finally said, "I'm tired, I want to come home, Jesus." God wants you to be holy. He wants to give you a life that you could never explain in words at all. That's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, and that could be in the Testament of February 18th, 2009 for you here, right here, in the Youth Auditorium. So are you ready to live holy? Do you want to hear God's voice and go to the next step and to respond? And when you positively respond, God will do something through you that will shake everybody up and get their attention. God will say, "I'm about to do something through you." If you would have told me that God would have used me when I was sitting where you, like he has when I was sitting where you are now, if you had told me that there'd be over 100 people in full-time ministry in the Salvation Army, I and my whole class, and probably 85% of the faculty would have said, not going to happen. So let me ask you the question again. Are you ready to be holy? Do you really want to be? God wants to do something through you and can do that best if you're living a holy life. In order to do that, you must really desire to hear God. You must actively listen for His voice, and you must positively respond. We're going to sing the words of that song. Go back to Psalm 441 in your hymnal. I know we're running out of time, so listen close. That second verse says, "Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me." He's calling. Are you listening? Do you desire to hear His voice? I'm ready to be holy. I want to come home. I want to be yours. And there's a place here for you to come. We'll sing on that second verse of this song. And if Holy Spirit's talking to you, and you know right now that you're ready, come. We'll sing on the second verse. Why?